appreciate those songs. I hear them, and I need to hear them again and again, and I begin to sing them, even in the shower. But you know what? He doesn't change, and change and decay, and everything I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. You know, we need that. Praise God for that. Good to see a good crowd out tonight. Amen. Good to see you all here tonight. We've been praying for Awilda and Christian. Good to see them out tonight. Colin, good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. You still doing mechanical work? Okay. Good to see Alicia's brother, Colin. Praise God for that. And all of you that are here tonight, my granddaughter's here. That's good to see Kate. And Kate Kelly, and all the rest of you. We're going to Matthew's Gospel tonight, and there's an offer in Matthew's Gospel. If you go to chapter 11, that's where we're going to be, but there's an offer in Matthew's Gospel, which is an offer to the nation of Israel. And it's an offer that Israel could have Jesus as their king. I don't know about you. I like having Trump in there. It's much better than we've had for decades, if not centuries. But I thank God for him. But I mean, if Jesus could be on the ballot, amen? And that's what they had. They had the opportunity to have Jesus reign over them, and they rejected him. They rejected him. They voted against him. And as we come to Matthew's gospel, the rejection was building, and it was coming to a crescendo. And now the Lord turns in Matthew 11 from the nation to talk to you and I as individuals. And Matthew chapter 11, he gives two invitations. I'm going to preach on the second one tonight, and we're going to look at verses 28 through 30. So read Matthew 11, 28 with me. It says there, and this is the first invitation. I'm not preaching on this, but if it applies to you, Jesus gives it to you tonight. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." No, I did that a number of years ago. I came to Jesus, and I've been resting in him ever since. I know I'm saved, and I don't really have any problems because I'm saved. I'm resting in Jesus. I've done that. But I do come to him, and I keep coming to him as a living stone. And I understand that invitation to come to me that you might have rest. And really, this is the word for the Sabbath. He's saying, "I am your Sabbath." You know, one of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And a lot of people say, "Yeah, you're not keeping the Sabbath day." Well, you're not either, because you don't stone people that don't keep the Sabbath day. Bible says in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, "Let no man therefore judge you in respect of an holy day." Let me read that again. "Let no man therefore judge you in respect of an holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." You say, "But what about the fourth commandment? Isn't that part of God's moral law?" The fourth commandment is not mandated as a day with the death penalty. If you don't keep it with no work, you'd be stoned under the law. But rather, the Sabbath is kept by those who've done what Christ is inviting you to do right here. And if you don't do this, you will be not stoned. You will spend eternity in the second death. It's even more severe. You need to enter into his rest. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher? How do you fulfill the fourth commandment?" It says in Hebrews, which is a comment on Judaism, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "There remaineth therefore a rest." Listen, "There remaineth therefore a rest," a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest to the people of God. Who's that? The Jewish people who need to enter into the Sabbath rest. He says, for he that is entered into his rest. What rest is that? The rest after Christ finished the work of paying for our eternal salvation. He sat down at the right hand of God. He's still sitting down. He's still resting. Is Jesus working for our salvation? Is Jesus suffering for our salvation? Is Jesus going through all the pain of... No, he's finished it. He is now celebrating what the Sabbath is all about. What the fourth commandment is all about. You want to honor the seventh day? You want to honor the Sabbath? Then enter into that rest. God rested after 6 days of creation. By the way, he did it in 6 24-hour days. Not some gradual evolution. That's just compromise with the devil. We don't do that here. And God rested. And Jesus is God in the flesh. And he did the new creation, which is you and me with eternal life. He did it in his passion on the cross. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, he ascended with his blood sprinkled on the mercy seat and sat down, and he's resting. And he's inviting you to enter into that rest if you haven't done it. I had a guy at the funeral, after the funeral, at the dinner. And young lady said to me, who I know very well, she said, he struggles with assurance of salvation. And I said, you know, the best thing I can tell you as far as assurance is God a liar or not? Because he's given us his word. And he's put his word above his name. And he would have you rest upon his word. Just like you're sitting down on that seat that you're on, trusting it to just rest on his word. He's not going to lie to you. He can't lie to you. Titus 1 says he can't do it. You need to enter into his rest by realizing that no matter how much you work for salvation, you cannot add one thing to what Jesus did. It's done. It's finished. Therefore, before we get into the message tonight of verses 29 and 30, we have to go back to verse 28, and you must first find your rest in Jesus and trust in him fully for your salvation, and then you can be assured that when you die, we don't know when that is, has Benji just passed, or when Jesus comes back, you're gonna be with him forever. And that's what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It says, for by grace are ye saved. I'm so glad I'm not saved by my works. I sin every day. I'm saved by his grace. Through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're not there tonight, that's what you need. Jesus says, I invite you to come to me. Not to come to a church and join a church. I mean, that's good after you get saved. Not to come to a creed, but to come to a person, Jesus Christ, and put your trust in him, that he loved the world, so that anybody in the world that wants to come to him, he won't cast you out. John chapter 6. And then you can get into the next two verses in Matthew 11. And you can get into verse 10 of Ephesians 2. After he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. And so let's get into that tonight. And my message is Christ invites you to yoke up with him. Christ invites you to yoke up with him. And I want to say two things about that tonight in verse 29 and 30 in Matthew 11. First of all, the definition of his yoke. This yoke follows his invitation to rest from your own works. But next he tells you to work with him in his yoke, to enter with him into the works of Almighty God. Now, a yoke pictures an older, experienced, big ox. And this ox has a big wooden yoke. You know how they have the yoke around their necks? And they have another yoke so another younger ox can get in that yoke. And Jesus is pictured as the older, experienced ox. You say, how old is he? His going forth have been from everlasting. Micah 5:2. And the yoke pictures Jesus, and he now, if you have trusted him as your Savior, he now invites you to get in his yoke, to put your neck in his yoke. I used to always say the one thing Brother Jose Valley needs is to lock into the yoke. Didn't I say that? And that's no yoke. And Brother Jose, there came a point when he locked in. He put his neck in that yoke, and it's a blessing. And so the best way for you to get to know somebody is to get in the yoke with them to do a job for them. You know, dating is not all it's cracked up to be. People want to get to know one another by going out to eat, by doing that, and this and that. And that's great, but that's not reality. Life is work. By the way, if you want to enjoy life, do a work that you really are called to do and enjoy it. Because life is work. You know, people want to retire. Well, if you want to retire, you're ready to go to heaven. That's where retirement is. I want to refire down here. And I'm saying to you, a girl and a guy, if they want to get to know together, work together. And that is what we need to get into. And for instance, you have a relationship with somebody and you break up with them. Don't just go to date other people. Go back to Jesus. And if you're a saved person, put your neck in the yoke in the local New Testament church. Because didn't Jesus say, I will build my church, and let him work through you? And then you're going to get to know him better, and you're going to get to know others that are in the yoke. And you know what the perfect triangle is with a guy and a girl? It's when they're both going to the top of the triangle, and they meet at the top, which is in the yoke of Jesus. And that's what we need. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, listen, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. You say, how did you and your wife get together? We were in Florida. I went down there and I met her at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and we got involved together in building the youth group. We visited young people together, tried to get them out to youth group. We worked together. When she came up here, she was working in this church. I didn't have to go hither and yon to find her. God brought her in from West Palm Beach, Florida. God brought her into the yoke of Christ, brought her into the ministry of my pastor, Charles Ware. God brought her in. And then we got closer and closer, and boom, I recognized, wow, she's the one. She's the one. And I tell you, she's the most beautiful thing on earth. A wonderful, wonderful lady. What a lady. But that's how I got her. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. But you don't have to run away from the yoke. Get in the yoke, which is to work together with Jesus, and you'll get to know him better. And that's the way to go. Now, in verse 29, he also teaches that to work with him in his yoke, you must not be self-centered and self-congratulating. Jesus is not self-centered, and he's not self-congratulating. The most boring people in the world just talk about themselves. Talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, right? The Lord of Lords. I mean, Jesus is not self-centered. Who is he always talking about? my Father, all the time. My Father, he was into that, amen? And then others. And so you won't be, you say, where's that? Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek. You say, well, what is meek? Meek is just the opposite of being self-centered. He does not push a selfish agenda, but works with you to accomplish the agenda of another, namely God. That's what he's looking for. But there's too many people in this world. They have their own agenda. They have their own plans. And they don't have time to find out the Father's agenda and Jesus' agenda. And so you're never going to get to know that if you have a selfish agenda. And that's the opposite of being meek. Abraham was meek when he told Lot, you choose which way to go. Do you want to be close to the Lord and to know his will? Well, then you need to surrender to his yoke, to work with him, to do the will of the Father, and to love people and offer God's love through you. By the way, that's why he said, not only is he not self-centered, but he says, he's not self-congratulating. He says, I'm lowly in heart. I'm lowly in heart. And that means that you're not pushing yourself up. You're pushing Jesus up. You're willing to take the low place. That's what Jesus wants. You're willing to take the low place. Some people, even in church, they're seeking to be exalted. They're seeking a position. No, that's just opposite of what Jesus is. Seek the function of serving and helping. And he says, you know, don't be self-congratulating. Surrender to do God's will and to depend upon his strength, not on your own strength. Some people, I'm so smart. I'm so good looking. I'm so this. I'm so that. No, J. Hudson Taylor, why did he transform China? He said God was just looking for somebody weak enough that he could use. George Mueller, he was the great man of faith and answered prayer. And why did George Mueller get answers to prayer? He said, before I pray, I had a day that I died to myself. And I just searched the scripture to find out what God wanted me to pray for, what God wanted to do. I'm going to loosen my collar. And God would show him, and he would just stay with it. The word of God. And God would do it. That's being lowly, being humble. And what's the result of you getting in that yoke of Christ in that way and not being self-centered and self-congratulating? Well, he says, ye shall find rest for your souls. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you at peace inside tonight? If you're in the yoke of Christ, he offers you peace and rest for your soul. Now, notice he didn't say rest for your body. I'll tell you what, I sleep well. I thank God for that. My wife's been sleeping well. That's even better to report to you tonight lately. She's had some good sleep days. But I find out he works my body. He works my body. And I'm glad he works my body. I'm going to lift some more weights tonight, do some push-ups tonight, because I want to try to keep this body in some good shape, because he works that body. He didn't say rest for the body. You know, Mary had a little lamb. It grew up to be a sheep. It joined Revival Baptist Church and died for lack of sleep. See, if you're in the yoke of Christ, you're called to work with him. And you look at Jesus, you read the Gospels, you see him sleeping. Usually he fell asleep whenever he sat down. He was tired. He was working all the time. He was working hard. And I'm just saying that he says he'll give you rest for your soul. Where do you get that rest? It's inside the yoke of Christ. I used to think when I was younger, get out of the yoke of Christ. Let me have a break from the yoke of Christ. I'll get some rest. No, that's not the secret to rest. That's not the secret. Secret to peace. It says in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. See, he's talking about just staying in the yoke of Christ. And he says you will fly, you'll run, you'll walk, but you won't flop. He'll renew your strength right there. And I think about Jack Hiles. He talked about waiting on the Lord. And he said, you don't just wait on the Lord like this. He said it's like waiting on tables, you know, in a restaurant. How many have had a bad waitress? Bad waitress. All right. How many have had good waitresses or waiters? All right. Yeah. My wife and I go out and we have some good waitresses and we like to tip them, you know. And what do? They wait upon you and then they watch to see if everything's good. And when you wait on the Lord, you're, Lord, what do you want me to do? You show me. And then as soon as he shows you, then you do it. And then you wait on him. What do you want? You're looking to him. You're waiting on him, and then you're doing what he wants. Waiting on him, doing what he wants every day of your life. That's the way to live your life. Paul said it this way. Whether you're like Benji Rodriguez and you're with the Lord, you're still looking to Jesus, but now face to face. But we need to start that right now. To wait upon Jesus every day. Have you been doing that? That's the yoke of Christ. And you'll find rest for your soul, but not your body. I think of Tom Williams, the great evangelist. I got to know him in Bible college. He said, a lot of people are just too busy for God. And he said, he gives me things to do, and he keeps me busy. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you? And I think about Charlie Ware. He said, when you're in the yoke of Christ, you don't have to worry. He'll foot the bill if you do his will. He said, when you're in the yoke of Christ, he has all the wisdom. He has all the strength. He has all that you need, all the wealth, the wisdom, and the strength that you need. You'll lack nothing if you're in the yoke of Jesus Christ. That's why he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think of Awilda, who's here tonight after the funeral, and Christian and the family, and the hard time is after the funeral. And Awilda knows that. And when you're missing that loved one that you've been with for 33 years and day after day. And I shared with Awilda something I've shared with you many times, and that is when I drive, like from here to Florida, or take a long trip, I'm going down the road maybe 70 miles an hour. But how far can I see ahead of me? Only 150 feet. That's all those headlights will shine. And I have to, by faith, just go with the next 150 feet. And then when I get there, go with the next 100. You just keep taking it a step at a time. Same way with Marilla, with Reuben. Just one step at a time. I'm talking about the Lord invites you to be in a yoke with him and to get involved in his will and his work. That's the definition of it. There's a second thing I want to close with, and that's the delineation of his yoke. Not only the definition, but the delineation. You say, what does delineation mean, Pastor? That's a big word. Well, figuratively, it means to describe, to represent, to the mind or understanding, to exhibit a likeness in words. And so what I like to do is paint a picture to you with words of what this yoke of Christ is. For some of you, you were yoked up with him and maybe you got off the yoke and you got off on your own and you need to come back and put your neck back into the yoke. For some of you, it's new to you and you've not really... You've received salvation, but you've not really put your neck in the yoke and surrendered to him. So either way, you're invited to get into the yoke of Christ tonight. And I'd like to say three things in closing about this yoke of Christ, to delineate it, to describe it. Number one, it's a yoke of a soul-winning commission. It's a yoke of a soul-winning commission. And you know that's in our blueprint, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, go with the intention to get people saved. I went out, took my wife out to lunch recently, and I went with the intention to get the waitress saved. I knew it. That's what my intention was. Not only intention, but that was what I wanted to do. And we had our lunch, and I got to the waitress, and I asked her. I said, you know, the two spiritual questions, and I found out she lived in Factoryville, and got to talking to her, and led her to Christ right there. Gave her a track, invited her to our church, found out she worked Sunday morning. I invited her Wednesday night, Sunday night. Led her to Christ. You see, it's a thing where you go and you give people the gospel, and then you draw the net and you invite them to trust Christ. I prayed with her in that restaurant, and now that she's saved, you seek to follow up for baptism and get to come to church and walk down the aisle, and they get baptized like it says there. And then when they get baptized, they should join the church. That's what you should do. If you're baptized and say, you should join the church. And then what do? You go out. You go out and train others to do that. That's what it says. That is the soul-winning commission. It's interesting. I was talking to Awilda about Benji, and he was baptized. He was saved, and then he joined the church. And Awilda said he wanted to evangelize his family. And he had plans to evangelize his family. And Awilda had plans, and her plans were to go out soul winning, right? Like on a Thursday night, I think that's what you were thinking, Thursday night soul winning with her husband. You know, that plan is still there. The Bible says there's joy in heaven when one person repents and trusts Jesus. Where do you think that joy comes from? Well, God rejoices, but who's rejoicing with him? The angels, but who would rejoice more than the angels? Loved ones. Loved ones. Benji. Benji. Let's get back to the priority of soul winning. Amen. That's what the Lord wants. And then I shoot for one every day. I don't know, maybe I've got 286 or thereabouts. I'm not sure how many I've led to the Lord. I have to look at my list, but this year so far. But then I shoot for one a day. I don't always hit it, but then I shoot for one baptism every week. Shoot for one baptism. I remember I went to pastor school, 1986, Hammond, Indiana. All the pastors were out there, and the theme was on soul winning. And you're not right with God if you're not soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. Are you in the soul winning commission? Hey, listen up. Are you getting people saved? Are you getting people baptized? How are you doing it? You know, the teenagers can do that more than anybody else. Brother Heil said his teenagers did more to get people saved and baptized than anybody else in his church. Because you're young. What are you going to spend your youth on? Just being boy crazy? Well, I don't think you girls are. How about being soul winning crazy? How about it? Yeah. It's a good goal. It's a good goal. My wife and I, we met together and got together soul winning together. When she came to Scranton, that's when I knew we were going to get married, when we were soul winning together. I could feel it. I could feel it. I'm just saying that this yoke of Christ is a soul-winning commission yoke. And when I went to pastor school in 86, all these pastors, he had a big, big baptistry. It had a curtain. He kept pulling the curtain back. And every day while the lectures were going on, he was baptizing converts that just got saved. And he was baptizing them. And I was like, holy mackerel, wow. This is awesome. I want to see more of this. This looks like the book of Acts. Boy, we need that kind of revival, amen? I'm talking about a soul-winning commission revival. There's a second thing about this yoke as I delineate it. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's a yoke of standards, convictions, yoke. standards, convictions, yoke. And I'm not talking about a bunch of Pharisees that look down at somebody that doesn't have your standards. I'm thinking of Bob Gray. I went to his soul-winning conference down there. He'd have one every year. I used to bring people from this church down there, went to soul-winning contest. Bob Gray was a young preacher. He preached like a lion back in those days. Oh, man. And I remember being there, Bob Gray, and I remember him talking about a guy. He got saved and baptized, and he had 21 earrings pierced in his ears. And he said some teenagers in his church, they had higher standards than that, you know, and they were like judging the guy because he had 21 earrings in his ears. And the guy was sitting under hot preaching about, you know, don't pierce your body like the Bible says, as part of God's moral law. Don't pierce your body and put all these piercings on, you know. I don't get these girls with piercings in their nose. Like, I go around, I see that. You know what it looks like to me? Like their nose, snot is coming out of their nose like boogies. It doesn't look attractive. But that's not here nor there. It's just piercing, big gauging on your ears. Go back into pagan lands. That's as people get farther away from God, they mutilate their bodies. But anyway, this guy, he had 21 earrings, and some of the kids in that fundamental Baptist church were judging him. But Bob Gray says, youth pastor, take them out on the soul-winning bus, the teen soul-winning bus. We've been preaching standards here. Get them out in the soul-winning bus. And they would lead somebody to the Lord, a teenage Lord. Every time they led somebody to the Lord, he'd take an earring out to count it. When they got all done, he had 21 saved, and every earring came out of his ears, Brother Joe. And I don't think they ever went back. I'm talking about the soul-winning commission yoke. And I'm talking about the standards convictions yoke. And I'm thinking of Bob Bajewski, deacon, man of God, servant of God, blessed of God. Well, I remember when Bobby first got saved. Remember on that bus going to Knoebels? And Bobby had that guitar and he's playing. And it wasn't the kind of music that his wife would approve of up here. But he was playing that music on that guitar. But he kept coming to church, coming to Sunday school. He was here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. He kept going forward, went to Bible college. He got convictions. And as he went along, he got more convictions, even from his sermons, a series I preached. Remember that one? And he got convictions, standards. That should be progressive. My wife met a girl named Diana. She said, now you're saved, you're baptized to my wife. Now here's all the rules. You got to live like that. Well, my wife didn't give up dancing for quite a while. She was a good dancer. She said when she saw me dance, she knew dancing was sin. Well, I can do this dance, Jose. But that's about it. But anyway, she got that conviction from some guys in Bible college that explained these biblical principles, and the light came on. By the way, when you get into a good church and you have a pastor that has convictions, and maybe you're not there yet, you don't see it all. You don't need to see it all. You say, I'll limit my liberty to work with the preacher and be a Sunday school teacher and be a ministry leader. And I'll sign that thing, even if I don't have all the convictions yet. And it gives you time to grow. I'm talking about a yoke of soul-winning commission. I'm talking about a yoke of standards, convictions. And I'm talking about a negative standard thing, and that is we had a deacon in the church. He got people to drink alcohol. They get saved, baptized. Instead of getting away from alcohol, he would get them into alcohol. He was not helping them. Let me tell you, it almost ruined the church. My wife went with a girlfriend of hers today. My daughter went with a girlfriend of hers today that was a good girlfriend of hers. Her dad's a preacher, and he was a deacon in our church, or a man in our church, man of God in our church. And he became a pastor later. But this guy got pulled away by this movement in our church, led by this deacon, going away from standards, going the other way. And he had a guy that he was working with, and that guy was getting Christians back into doing light shows for rock musicians. That ain't God's will. What a opposite direction church we were going in at that time. I'm so glad that God scrubbed that out. It's a yoke of standards, because when you get people saved, you want them to grow and get into it. And finally, it's a yoke of service confederation. Soul winning, commission, standards, conviction, and soul winning, service confederation. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, I'm going to read it. It says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You say, can it be possible to have your name in the book of life and clash? Yes. And Paul writes, and he writes a true yoke fellow. Listen, when we're in the yoke of Christ with a soul-winning commission, and we're in the yoke of Christ with standard convictions, and we're moving and we're serving God, we don't have time to be judging outside of our area and judging somebody else. We're moving in a confederation. And I remember Bill Bowler, who was an evangelist down in a church I was in, my wife and I were in West Palm Beach, Florida, called Calvary Baptist Church. Dr. Phil Hausman was the pastor. Evangelist Bill Bowler came, and he was preaching about cliques in the church. You know, churches within the church. There shouldn't be churches within the church. We all should be, he said, we all should be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the soul-winning Great Commission. And that's still true. And but people have their own agendas, and the Philippian church had people with their own agendas. The Corinthian church had people with their own agendas. And so he said to this yoke fellow who was clicking around the man of God to fulfill the grace, help these women to get out of their petty problems and turf battles and click around and just get in the Great Commission. And sometimes somebody will rub you the wrong way or that, but are you meek? You say, meek? Yeah, try being meek for a week. Takes strength. It takes God's power so that you don't stick up your flesh. I'm thinking of one guy, whenever I said everybody ought to be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission, and he hated that. And he didn't like it when I said that. You know why? I believe, I'll give you my opinion. He was proud. He was self-centered. He wanted his agenda, not that of Jesus Christ. You need to put a match to your selfish ambitions. Burn them up. And surrender to die. He wanted to have these Bible studies. And he had them and left the church and was doing that. I don't even know if they're going. I don't even think they're going on now. No, build Christ Church. Get rid of your agenda. You know, we had something back in the day. We had discipleship groups, and everybody had their own Bible studies out there in the homes and everything. And then I found out that was mule discipleship. It was a horse and a donkey mate, and they have a baby foal, and that thing is called a mule. But a mule can't reproduce and have babies. I said, we don't need mule discipleship. We need to have spiritual babies. And so instead of having Bible studies all out there, why don't you seek to become a Sunday school teacher and work with the church to fulfill the Great Commission? That's the way to do it. That's the model, I believe. So I challenge you tonight to get in the yoke of Christ. He invites you. Understand the definition of the yoke that we talked about and the delineation as a yoke of soul-winning commission, standards, convictions, and a yoke of service, confederation, working together, clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. May God help you to apply that. Let's bow for prayer tonight. You say, preacher,